The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday the 5th of August 2016. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. I'm delighted to be joined ahead of the new season by Get Reading's Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
Dan, I'm very good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not so bad. Thank you, not so bad. The big kickoff is upon us, less than 24
hours
to go.
Can you believe it?
I know. It doesn't feel like it's been 3 months. It's rolled around very quickly.
I think when you got the international tournament, even though it was dreadful, sandwiched in between those few months, it goes really quickly, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like next summer when it'll be that sort of long wait for football to return. It's just been football constantly, hasn't it, since the season ended. So yeah, it's gone quite quickly.
Absolutely. And Reading have been very busy this summer. We spoke a few weeks ago and talked about the first few transfer incomings, and it's only intensified as the kickoff has approached. Reading signed 8 players in all, and they've let a couple go as well. We'll start with the men that have come in, starting today with a deal from Charlton. This one coming a bit out of the blue, Charles. Callum Harriott joins from Charlton. What do we know about him, and how long have Reading been tracking him?
We've been tracking him. I think it's all happened pretty quickly. I think it's sort of the last couple of weeks, they've done this one pretty much under the radar. They've done it, a couple of them. They've been very smart with their, clever with it, a couple of their transfer moves. I mean, it's very hard in this day and age for them to go pretty much under wraps the whole time. But I only got a sniff of Harriott this morning, about sort of an hour before it was announced. And they did it with Mate as well, which came bang out of the blue. But yeah, I mean, he's a, I don't know, my brother's a Charlton fan, and he always talks about Harriott, sort of very inconsistent type winger. One day he'll look great and like he can go on and be a bit of a world beater, and then he'll have 4 awful games.
So we've signed a like-for-like replacement of Hal Robson-Cano, is what you're
talking about. Kind of looks that way, but he's young, he's got a lot to learn, he can certainly improve, and I think Reading needed to bring balance to that side. I think they sort of, even in this pre-season, you had John Swift playing out there, who obviously can do a job, but he wants to play centrally. They've got Fosu, who, you know, Stan clearly isn't too sure about for whatever reason. And they've got Mate in again, who's only played one senior game. So you're asking a lot to sort of throw him straight in to adjust to a new country and all that. So they needed to get someone in on that left wing, I think, to bring balance to the side, and they've done that. And on his day, like I say, he can be a decent player. He's quick, got bags of pace. He can beat his man. He can score from distance. So when it all comes together in one day, he plays really well. But I think the thing with him, that if he wants to really sort of make the step up to Championship level and prove himself at this level, then he needs to find consistency. And hopefully he'll do that with Reading.
Any idea how much Reading had to pay to get him?
No, but I couldn't find that out. I was talking to a couple of people earlier. I think Charlton were pretty keen not to get that put out, and but I was told he was pretty cheap, so I don't think Reading have exactly busted the bank to get this one, which probably why Charlton aren't too keen for it for any fee to sort of come out.
No, and we spoke a few weeks ago about some of the incomings, and if you want a more detailed look at all of the transfer business, go listen to our main edition of the podcast, which is up now. Spent an hour and 40 minutes chatting with Dave and Johnny about that. But I just wanted to ask you, Charles, out of the 8 then that have come in, who's the one that's most exciting you?
I think it's got, for me, I think it's got to be Roy Behrens. I think just from the little flashes I've seen of him, he's got an awful lot about him, and you know, he's done it at a very decent level. He's not past it by any means. You know, he's pretty much approaching his peak now, and I just think if he can adapt to this country, which I don't see any problem in really him adapting, he speaks the language well and everything, then you know, Reading have got a very, very good player on their hands there with him. He can score goals, he's can totally beat his man, he's got loads of tricks on him, loves a step over, the crowd are going to enjoy watching him. So as long as he stays fit and, like I said, adjusts, which I think he will, then it's an exciting signing. He is. I like the look of John Swift. I think he's got plenty about him. Kind of like Harriott, though, I think he needs to now find some consistency and, you know, play well on a consistent basis rather than having one good game and then maybe disappearing for a couple and then having another. But that will come. He's a young player. But I think watching him play and watching him on the ball in training and matches so far, I think he's got an awful lot about him, and I think he'll score goals from midfield, as we saw against Bournemouth. So I think those two, and then there's the big sort of question mark, I think, over Mendes, because you sort of look at this Reading team now and what Stams and Teverton have sort of put together going into the new season, and you just need, someone's got to put a ball in the net. It's something we've been lacking here for a few years now. And, you know, I think that obviously Mendes has been brought in to be the number 9. I do think they want another striker between now and the end of the window. Whether they get one, I don't know. I don't know, but I think they're hoping that they can get some more money out of the owners to do that. But I think Mendes has certainly come in as the number nine. He's the big powerhouse. He's got pace. He can beat his man. But there's just question marks over his finishing ability. And certainly from what I've seen so far of him, that he doesn't look like someone who's going to score one in every two chances. And so hopefully we need him to sort of find some confidence early on and start getting some goals. And if he does that, then Redknapp got a chance of having a decent enough season. So I think those are the main three of the signings you look at. And for me, that I'm kind of most excited by or anticipating watching.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that Reading might be looking to bring in a striker before the window closes. Another target that's been widely rumoured and a deal that's almost seemed on the verge of being done for a while now, Liam Moore from Leicester. How close is that one to being done for the defender?
It's no closer. Well, from the conversations I had earlier today, it's still no closer to being done as it was over the weekend. I mean, Ren thought they'd made a breakthrough last weekend. It's not been an easy deal to progress this one. Leicester are not really playing ball at the moment, even though Moore hasn't been given a squad number, so clearly his time's up at Leicester. But they don't seem to be playing ball. Redden are becoming increasingly frustrated at this one, and they're not going to hang around forever. So, they're still trying to get it done. He is the number one target, but it's going to come a point very soon where if they're not getting any sort of green light for Leicester, they're going to have to reluctantly move on and look at other targets, because they know they need to improve the defence. You know, Redden are going to be starting tomorrow, it looks like, probably with the same back four that finished last season, conceding an awful lot of goals. So they need to improve defensively, and they want to improve defensively. And Liam Moore, like I said, is the number one target. Stam really likes him. Brian Tevreden really likes him. But at the moment, no deal has been agreed. No fee has been agreed. And they haven't been given permission to discuss terms with a player. If that is agreed, then the move will be completed so quickly. But they need Leicester to give it the green light, and at the moment they're not getting any sort of positive feedback from Leicester, and they're becoming increasingly frustrated about it.
Would you expect that to be it then? Signing a defender, whether it's Moore or elsewhere, and then maybe a striker,
no,
and that's it?
No, I would expect more than one defender to come in between now and the transfer window closing.
Are you saying we could have an exciting deadline day for once?
Possibly. Well, I don't know. Last deadline day was all right, wouldn't it? We got Vidra and John.
That's
last
very
deadline
true,
day,
yeah.
Didn't we? And obviously,
yeah.
What's his name? Oh, I've forgotten his name. That's how much of an impact he had. Brazilian from Chelsea.
Lucas Piazon.
Piazon, yeah. He came in the day before, didn't he?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I think he was actually originally to be a deadline day signing, but he ruined it by tweeting a picture of himself the night before, so to rush it out early. I think that they're still working on a fair few deals. I mean, they've done eight now, and we saw 11 last summer, didn't we? And I wouldn't be surprised if that's matched again this year. But obviously, I think defence is very much the priority. I think they're very happy with what they got midfield-wise. Stam, I know, is sort of pushing to get some sort of replacement in for Oliver Norwood, but I think if they can't get that done, then they've still got just about enough in midfield to cope with the loss of Norwood. But I think Stam would like to, as you'd expect, fill in the void left by Norwood. So I think there's more business to be done between now and the transfer window showing.
I was going to say, how did you feel about the Norwood deal?
I was disappointed. I think, I'm a Norwood fan. I always have been. I think I've spoken about it on here before that I think he's a decent player. The Reading play through him. I know he's had some people who don't really rate him, and obviously says he passes sideways, but for a player who passes sideways, he created 100 chances more than anyone else last season. The only player to get into triple figures for chances in the Championship, so that's not bad for someone who only passes sideways. So I thought he was a good player. You look at that goal against Bournemouth on Friday night. I think it was about 20 odd pass move, and Norwood had four of them in that. Everything went through him, and Stam really liked him. He was completely setting the team up to go through Norwood again. It all happened so quickly within 24 hours of Brighton getting in touch. It was done. So I was disappointed, but I can understand Reading. They got 1 year left on his contract. Brighton suddenly came knocking. Norwood says, "I want to go." And then what else are Reading going to do? Stam can say all he wants. He wants to keep him, but I think he's going to learn fairly quickly as a manager, certainly at this club, that if there's money on the table when a player only has a year left on his contract, then he's going to be heading out the door.
I was going to say, does it worry you at all that that's two players now that have just openly said, "Well, I'm off. I want to leave to go to a fellow Championship side"?
I think it's just where Reading are at the moment. I think we just got to accept it. Reading are a club and not got much money I think no one here, unless you're just a mad dreamer, expects Reading to go up or even get close to promotion this season. And I think, you know, Brighton were one goal away from the Premier League last season, and Aston Villa were a Premier League club last season, and just spent 14 million or 12 million, whatever it was, on Ross McCormack. And it's just the way it is now. It's what I think Reading have just got to accept, that they're now in the pack of also-rans in this league. And you've got to sort of consider yourself that these clubs above them have got a real chance of Premier League, and players are going to see that. And if one comes knocking, then they're probably going to want to go.
Yeah, sadly, I can only agree, really. Obviously, quite a few weeks left in the transfer window, but are you expecting, is there any imminent departures? Do you think, obviously, names like Chris Gunter and Danny Williams have been mentioned, and going back to the start of the year, Jake Cooper as well. Can you see anyone leaving in the next couple of weeks?
Well, there's nothing that I know of, and I don't think anything's particularly close. But I mean, the Norwood deal happened in 24 hours. It was so quick. Now, Stam got a message on Tuesday night from the club saying Brighton are coming in with a bid, and you know, Norwood had signed on within 24 hours over at Brighton. And so it can all happen so quickly. And Stam himself said that there's no guarantees with these players. Certainly the internationals have got 1 year left in the contract. If someone decides to come in for it, which you would not be at all surprised if someone comes in for Gunter. He's not got a year left, but someone comes in for Gunter between now and the end of the window, someone comes in for Danny Williams between now and the end of the window, that you've got to think they'll go. And yeah. So I certainly couldn't sit here now and say no one else is going to leave. I don't think anyone could say that. Yapstam certainly wouldn't say that. So I think there's every chance we might see a few more departures between now and end of August.
Yeah, very busy transfer season. Well, let's move on then. Preston game tomorrow, the big kickoff back at the Medeski Stadium. Who is fit and who isn't fit for this one?
Who isn't, shall we start with?
Probably easiest to list the ones that are not fit.
Yeah, the ones who aren't fit are...
We had Knox to Mendes, Kermigan.
Mendes is out still. Kermigan's fit, McCleary's fit. So yeah, Mendes is out, Quinn's out, Mate isn't ready. Who else are we missing?
McCleary's fit,
yeah. There was another one. It was Quinn was out, Samuel's out still. And yeah, Quinn's got recurrence, that knee injury that sort of forced him out for a long time last season, which he's got to go for a scan, and that's not great news. We saw how long that all kept him out for last season. He had to go under the knife in the end, so hopefully that's nothing too serious, but it doesn't sound great. And you've got to think Quinn, with Norwood going, has got a good chance of sort of forcing his way near that midfield three, but not to be. But the good news is McCleary's fit and Kermigan's fit. I mean, they really desperately needed Kermigan to be fit for Saturday, because I think if you're at the Bournemouth game, Rackles really struggled as a central striker in that 4-3-3. It's just not his position. He's very much can play off a central striker or sort of come on as an impact for me in the second half and hopefully feed on some scraps in the box. But playing with his back to goal and trying to hold the ball up while the wingers get moved into central positions and play off him, it's just not his game. So Kermigan being fit is really important, I think, ahead of tomorrow.
Yeah, and he's very experienced as well, and that's something we're very much lacking in this side, of players that have got experience at this level. If you had to take a stab then at picking your team for tomorrow, you mentioned you expect to see the same back five, so well, Habsy, Gunter, Obita, Cooper and McShane, presumably.
The only thing is, obviously, Van den Berg played centre-back against Bournemouth, and it's something that Stam's been looking at. And I was at training yesterday, and Cooper wasn't training with the rest of the group. He was training on his own. Interesting. Well, not on his own. He was training with Mendes, and basically was training with people who've got a little slight knock, who are training, sort of doing a bit of training, but away from the group. So I don't know if Cooper's got some sort of knock ahead of tomorrow, but he certainly wasn't joining in with the full tempo game as I was in the car park doing my spying mission. So so yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I hope he's fit and I hope he plays, because I just don't see Joey Van den Berg as a centre back for me.
No, he didn't win rave reviews for that performance.
No, he's just a penalty waiting to happen and and a red card waiting to happen as well. So I would much rather see him in midfield. So yeah, I'd like to see the back four that you used listed there. Obviously, I'll have seen goal. I'd go with Joey Van den Berg as a sort of holding midfielder in the Norwood role. I'd like to see Danny Williams and John Swift ahead of them, and I'll go with McCleary on the right. I'll play Behrens on the left with Kermigan up front.
Yeah, I don't think I can disagree with that lineup too much.
It'll be interesting to see if Harriott starts. I wouldn't be surprised if McCleary is on the bench and Harriott starts on the left and Behrens is on the right.
Yeah, not Preston haven't made too many changes over the summer. Obviously, they gave us they should have won comfortably on the last game of the season. Is this a game, though, that Reading really have to be looking to take 3 points from, or are Preston going to be a tough opposition, to use a overused phrase?
I'm sure they're going to be tough opposition. They showed it last year. They're no mugs, are they? They took really well to the Championship last year, but Reading really need to get off to a decent start because they've got some really difficult games after this Preston one. So it'd be just for everyone's well-being, Stan's well-being, and just the fans as well going into a new season. I think starting at home, you've got to try and get 3 points against Preston tomorrow. It'd be really important, and it'd just ease the pressure a little bit just to get that first win on the board straight away. I don't think anyone wants to be going into the run of games that Reading have got coming up with no points. So, yeah, I think win is very, very important.
Yeah, and it'll be a fitting tribute as well for Eamon Dolan on the day that the stand gets dedicated to him. Be a good to see him mark that with 3 points as well. The only thing left then is the start of this year's Prediction League, Charles. You got a chance after last year's heartbreak. We go again.
That was my fault for being too optimistic last year. I kept hoping that they were going to get out of that rut.
Yeah, Johnny's pessimism won the day.
It did.
So far, I've gone for a 1-0 win. Dave has gone for a 2-1 home win. Johnny's saying 2-2, and Westy went for a 2-0 Reading win.
I am gonna say 0-0.
0-0. Nice. High entertainment then.
Welcome to 2016-17.
Matching the start of the Brendan Rodgers era.
Yes,
with that 0-0, that would be fantastic stuff. Just before we go, very quick snapshot answer. A fan of Reading being in the Football League Trophy?
No.
Okay, nice, short and sharp. We'll come on to more of that. And we probably won't get a chance to speak to you before the Plymouth game. Are you expecting Stam to go hell for leather in that game and pick a settled side, or do you think he's going to rotate things up a bit?
You know what? I have not even spoke to him about that, so I wouldn't even know what he's thinking, but I would imagine he will look to make changes.
What would you do?
In that, I'd make some changes. It's you know, Redden, I hate saying it, but Redden aren't going to win that competition. So, it's just more Tuesday night games, isn't it? So, if I was him, I'd rotate things around, and you know, give a few young lads a chance before possibly sending them out. Like, have a look at Jack Stacey again. Have a look at Tariq Fosu and do that. But I'm sure he won't play a full-on under-21 side, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if he rotates a little bit.
Yeah, OK, well, I know you're short of time today, so we'll get your thoughts on players like Stacey and Fosu and players like Birmingham squad numbers and lots of other topics in the coming weeks. I'm sure there'll be lots of other interesting news thrown up as well, so stay tuned. You can head over to getreading.co.uk to follow all the latest Reading news from Charles. He's also on Twitter @Charles_Watts. And, of course, head over to thetalehurstend.com. Lots of fan opinion and analysis, lots of things for you to join in. We've got a wider prediction league for everybody else to see if they can better our output. We've got previews from all the other 23 championship sides. So lots to get your teeth into there over at thetalehurstend.com. We'll be back with the main edition of this show on Monday. And then hopefully, Charles, we'll chat together again next Friday when we're into the next round of the Cup and we've got 3 points on the board.
That would be a nice week.
Very much so. And then we can get into your other team and, you know, how they're shaping up and all that jazz.
No, we'll leave that.
Well, Charles, thank you very much for joining me. Have a great weekend. And I said, hopefully we'll be talking about 3 points.
All right, have a good one, Dan. Speak
Take
to
it
soon.
Easy. Ta-da. Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetalehurstend
and facebook.com/thetalehurstend.